Hello, everybody, and welcome to another session of the Roundtable here on MyCountyLink.com as we continue to take a look at different things going on around not only Dark County, but also here in West Central Ohio. I'm Alex Warner, joined by Mike Stiegel here on my left, Galen Blosser over here in the far right, and our guest today to fill in the panel is Krista Stump. And Krista, we are glad to have you with us here today. Let's talk just a little bit about your background, because former educator here, not only in the Greenville school system, but also up at Ansonia, correct? And yes. A little bit about your background.
Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm. My dad raised grain and also several hundred acres of tomatoes. I went to Ohio Northern for my college degree. And my first job was at Ansonia, teaching kindergarten.
Okay.
And then I got RIF that year, so I got to know what that feels like. It was the worst day of my life at that moment.
You were there 1 year?
Yes.
Wow.
As a
made
teacher.
Quite an impression.
Yeah.
But, wow.
Then I came to Greenville, and that was the opportunity that knocked that I taught at Gettysburg third grade. And a first grade teacher retired that year, and he knew I wanted first grade, so he called me up and said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Great." So I taught first grade for 14 years at Gettysburg. Then I became principal at Greenville Schools, and it was a new program. They interviewed you and helped. They wanted homegrown principals because administration was leaving year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And they helped reimburse me for the classes that I took, with knowing I had to stay so many years, in a sense, to pay that back. And then my last 5 years, I was principal at Ansonia. But I was principal at Woodland Heights during the time we closed buildings and reorganized. And
yeah, shuffled things around.
I was there 9 years, but it was essentially two different jobs.
Yeah. Now, you didn't mention where you went to high school.
Mississinewa Valley.
Yeah, you're one of the Mississinewa people up there, huh?
That's
you're
right.
A cheerleader up there, if I'm not mistaken.
I was.
I don't know
was.
Why I knew that, but somehow I figured out it was that.
Funny story.
It's
when I became...
Yeah.
When I was elected to the school board here at Greenville, Mark Leibert, we didn't know each other, and he looks at me, we're meeting for the first time, and he says, "Weren't you a cheerleader at Mississinewa?" And I'm like, "Whoa, that was a long time ago." And he dated one of my best friend's sister. So I remembered that name, but I don't know that we'd ever met, and that was... our little connection.
And then you ended up marrying a guy from your arch rival, too.
That's right. I tell people we have a mixed marriage. He graduated from Ansonia. So.
That'd be Monty Stump.
Yeah.
Sammy, you stayed in the farm setting, didn't you?
I did. My dad said don't marry a farmer, but I did not marry a dairy farmer. So.
Hey, you know, we've got, this is always free flowing here. I had a couple things I want to talk about and so forth. And you mentioned you're on the school board, and we'll touch on some of that in just a little bit. Tomatoes. How's that work? I mean, tomato farmers, I mean, you know, that's something you just don't consider. Is your dad the only one that grows tomatoes in Dark County? And still does, right?
No, my dad, his health
got
really bad, but he was growing for Red Gold. And they had made cuts, and so they cut people that had dual contracts. And he had also a contract to grow with Tip Top in Tip City.
Hmm.
And so they cut him from Red Gold, and then the next year, Tip City closed down. Yep. They'd been trying to sell the cannery and couldn't. So I think that's always left a bad taste in my dad's mouth that he didn't quit.
The company.
He was cut, so... You know, it wasn't like really his decision, but it all worked out.
When did Tip Top close down? I remember them doing that.
About 2019, 2020. It was right before COVID because he fell in Florida in 2020 and was in a rehab unit when it was all closed down and all. So it was right before that.
Do you have to grow specific types of tomatoes? For like Red Gold? I mean, is it all juice or?
They do those compact ones. And so they do the juice and the cut up diced. Because I have videos on my camera of the mechanical picker, like scoops them up and shakes them. And there's people that stand there and throw off the rotten and green ones. And they're in the big semis. I was at the coffee pot one day and there goes a semi yep. that says Hurley on the side of the
oh,
truck
really?
on its way to the cannery.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that much about tomatoes. And I thought, well, boy, I had you here. I thought I might as well ask
well,
about
you
it.
Got to think about if you, the ones that you slice for your hamburgers, they're soft. And if you put those in a semi-truck,
they
would
squished.
Be juiced by the time you got to the cannery.
So these things had to be fairly firm to support weight.
They are.
Didn't know about that. Everything you want to know about tomatoes is maybe a little bit more.
The only thing I know about tomatoes is back in the early 2000s or sometime in there, I got called to cover the big parking lot that was out front there. So Peppermint's got the contract at Tip Top, and we covered that with stone. Took us 2 days, 2 days, four trucks to cover it all.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember us doing that.
Tomatoes are pretty, but I don't like them.
You like tomatoes, but not tomatoes?
I don't like either one. I just never like the taste of
it. My wife's the direct opposite. That's one of her favorite things in the whole world. As a matter of fact, she'll eat so much of them during the summer that her mouth gets sore.
Because of the acidity?
Yep. But she loves tomatoes.
I don't know how you can eat sandwiches without tomatoes. They give that moisture
to
it.
That's what she says.
I love the moisture in that and so forth. Hey, anything you want to pop up here, Galen, to start with? I got a list of things here we're going to eventually cover.
You know, to be honest with you, this is one I really didn't prep for because I knew you would, having been on the school board. I know the inside outs. There's questions that I have, but I probably will leave them for another time.
Okay.
So
okay.
I won't get into sports and things too much today for myself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's
I think a good question would be, what does all the school board do? We know they control a lot of this, but how involved is it? How involved do you really get? Do you leave a lot of stuff to like the principals or whatever, or do you guys just get involved with all of it?
Well, having been a teacher and a principal and then becoming a school board member and we go to the training, you're in charge of hiring the superintendent and the treasurer and setting policy. That's your three jobs.
Okay.
And I remember sitting in on my first school board meeting, and one of the other members said, well, why did this principal buy this furniture? And I thought, that's micromanaging.
It is.
As a principal, I knew you don't get much money to spend on furniture, and if that principal thought that needed to be purchased, then it needed to be purchased. But if you keep those three things in mind, the rest is not, I mean, it's your business, but it's not your business.
What do you look for in a superintendent? What is this? What do you really look for?
I'm not sure because I've not been through that process.
Okay.
I know that we have a good one now, and I think one of the things, looking back, he was a school counselor at Greenville. And having that counseling background, he's really good at diffusing a hot topic. Or if somebody comes in to him or calls and they're really upset, Mr. Freeze is really good at diffusing that and not amplifying the situation. There were several times when I was president of the board, he would call me and he goes, this person came in and they may show up at the meeting tonight and be voicing their opinion. And they didn't show up. You know, because he had diffused it and answered questions and
you
made
think
them
Doug,
feel listened to.
You think
to
Doug them. Misses coaching in basketball?
Did you ever coach?
No.
I just wonder if you ever take the coach out of a
no,
person.
You don't. I just wondered how much he misses it, though.
I think he does. I know he does. I've talked to him many times about it.
So. I have, too, and he really enjoys it. In fact, I could see Doug coaching again someday if he were to retire.
I can too.
I can see him coaching again.
When did you get elected to the board? How long have you been on the board now?
I have one more year.
So it's the end of your second term?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're going to re-up?
I'm not.
Okay. I tell you
really?
Why. Because it's one of those thankless positions, but yet it's gratifying. But boy, I tell you, I was on for 10 years and I thought, you know, 10 years, that's plenty. You run out of fresh ideas, maybe a little enthusiasm, and it's time to get some fresh blood in there.
Have you lost any friends over being
no,
on the board?
I don't
no?
think so.
Okay. Because it can happen.
Yeah, it can happen. Because you're making decisions that affect people.
Let me ask you, Crystal, you're not going to run again. Did you reach it? I know when I was commissioner, I had five things I wanted to accomplish. When I got the fifth one done, I decided to quit. That was what I, you know, I'd done what I wanted to do. And you knew it was time.
Yeah.
Do you know it's time, or is there just something else you want
to
do?
I like to travel.
Aha, good girl.
And I'm always like, oh, like, I got a board meeting. I got to work this.
Exactly.
There's a trip to come up in March, and we may move the meeting if everybody's good with it. But you can't do that every time. And you know,
nope, you're right. You
can't. Well, and Monty's retired.
And that
too.
Was the next thing I was going to say, the other part of that. My husband's a farmer.
Oh, yeah.
And he's retired. So this fall was the end of his harvest. We've rented our land out, and he'll be in the process of selling his machinery. And
that's,
you know,
hard to believe on him.
Again, I got to plan everything around the third Thursday of the month. And
I understand that.
It's time for a new season.
Yeah.
I want to be available. He says, let's go. And we bought a place down at Lake Cumberland, permanent campsite with a camper. And we bought a new boat. It's not even been in the water yet. So
you're still water skiing too, right?
So far.
Chris and I run into each other. We've known each other for a long time. Running each other out at Snap Fitness quite a bit. And I tell you, she's got some guns on her. She's ready to hang on that tow rope.
I'll tell you, though, with skiing, though, it's as long as the knees hold out.
Well, when we were being sold the boat and the guy showing you how to run everything, and he goes, Krista, with just you and Monty in here, and a half a tank of gas, it'll go 58 mile an hour. And I looked at Monty and I said, you're not going 58 mile an hour with me skiing.
And then he had this big grin on his face like, no, I never do that.
A couple things here on school board. Just briefly, people want to know the status of the Greenville football field, the stadium right now.
It's in the process of all the underground, like all the workings and paperwork and all that. Is going. All that's been signed, and the company that we're going with thinks they can have it ready by football season.
Be ready for next fall then.
Yeah. Okay. So
what company is that? Do you remember?
Oh. That was month ago. I've slept a lot of time.
But it's going to be what, around 3,000 seats? Or capacity of 3,000, I think it is, something like that.
I think there has to be a minimum if you want a regional game.
Yeah, right.
Right. Yeah, so
okay. So that's in the works, and hopefully by kickoff, or I think the first home game is Eaton, probably.
Yeah. And they should be. It shouldn't take them long to do. I know when Versailles did all their stuff up there, a lot of their people just pitched in. They got it done really quick.
Well, we got the field there. We got the new
Everything
light poles.
Everything else is ready to go.
Everything's ready to go. So okay. Now let me ask you this. This was a headline in the Dayton paper the other day, and it was about the drop in enrollment in public schools, as well as in private schools in the state of Ohio. Now, I know when I was on the board, every month we'd have like a last page showed projected enrollments for different grade levels as you went through like 10 years. Do you still have that?
I don't remember seeing it every month, but we look at it probably once a year.
Yeah.
And yes, it is dropping. Yeah. And I know when I was at Woodland and I had the first kindergarten, first and second, there was 200 kids. So I had 600 kids out there.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
Well, this article was saying that the public schools in Ohio have dropped 4% between 2015 and 2020, and they think it's going to drop another 3% by 2030. That's 7%. That's one out of every 14 kids, and so that's really cut down. Nationwide, they say 6% drop, and in the private schools, the same thing by 2030.
What do you attribute to?
Well, there's one main reason. Let's think this through now. What's the one main reason where there's been a drop in enrollment in schools?
I think homeschool.
Well,
there's all this availability of online, and that's easy.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons.
Sort of easy. I mean, I don't want to be a homeschool teacher with my kids.
Right.
Because it is a lot of work if you take it serious.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, that's one reason. But the main reason is the birth rate.
Yeah, that's going.
The birth rate. I thought this was fascinating. So you need 2.1 kids per family to maintain your population.
Right.
2.1 kids per family. Well, in 1923, it was down in the U.S. to 1.62.
Wow.
Okay. For every 1,000 women of birthing age, It used to be almost 14 births per 1,000 women in 2009. Now it's down to 11. And so you start figuring that in, it's mostly demographics. It's mostly demographics. People aren't having as many kids anymore. Because I know, like, right now, well, I started on the board back in 93, we had about 3,800 kids. Now we're down to what? About 2,500? Yeah. And it's just because the kids aren't there.
Well, then the obvious answer is we need more Elon Musks. Because he's got 12.
Yeah. I know. And so
we're the most family that we
That's right. Exactly. But, you know, I was in about a month ago with the commission, Veterans Service Commission, mm-hmm. and we had the Adjutant General speak to us. And this is a problem for the military.
Oh, too. Yeah.
And his topic was, we have to have more children. We're not, and so our military, of course, a lot of kids aren't fit for it, but the big thing is we just don't have the
numbers. You got a shrinking pool to draw from.
And so,
well, it's not only with the military, but it's just with the workforce in general. And my gosh, you know, of course you're on STRS, but, you know, the Social Security, for example, you've got that baby boomer group coming through, you know, and we're all retired. Yeah, I know, you caught the tail end of that. But anyway, well, not really. I'm trying to make you look good. But,
really? Normally, he's nicer than this, really.
But you know, there's just not going to be enough young people to contribute into Social Security to keep it afloat. Well, they're talking 2034, I think
it is,
before they start having to make some cuts. But that also then, as a school board member, that affects class sizes and planning then, because... Well, you got fewer kids, so I think, well, that makes it nice. You got fewer kids in a class, but then you think, no, we have fewer classes, and so class size might go up, right?
It could. I mean, every class size is not the same. That would be easy. But you look at the end of the year, and it's like this third grade, two third grades are going into fourth grade. Not two at Greenville, it wouldn't be two classes, but like at Ansonia, you might have three classes, and they're kind of smaller, and it's like, well, by fourth grade,
maybe two.
You put them into two units.
Yeah,
I know. In 1972, our class was around 300 people, just the senior class.
Wow, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
It was around 300. I don't remember exactly what it was, but
how many ever years when I was at Woodland and we did that switcheroo?
Right.
There was 200 per class, and now, you know, like might be 160. I mean, it's
Well, yeah, because it was funny because I knew we had the stats for all this stuff, and from like 1920 through about 1960, 62, Greenville class sizes, graduating class sizes, were like between 115 and 130. I mean, that was a steady number. And then the baby boom came, you know, everybody came home from the war. We know what happened there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you went from 130 in a class where you jumped up like you had 300. We started with 300. I think we graduated like 270 something.
Wow.
And all through the 70s then, Greenville classes mainly graduated 300
around
plus.
300, yeah.
And this last year, how many did we graduate? About 185, 190?
Yeah.
And it's
that's going
to... Yeah. And it's not just Greenville.
It's not just,
local. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
How many were in your class up there at West Liberty?
67, I think.
How many do you have at Miss Sinewall? You remember?
I had 81.
One of the bigger classes,
yes,
probably.
It was one of the biggest, I think.
Yeah.
But my niece just had her, like, 25th reunion from Mrs. Sinewa. And one of the questions they asked the people was, like, do you remember the 10 boys in our class and the 22 girls? It's like, so it was, like, less than 40.
Wow.
You know, my wife...
That was a few years ago.
Yeah, my wife graduated from Westmont. Of course, Westmont was only there for 20 years, I think from 52 to 72. And we always tease her a lot about how tough it was to get a date for the prom, because she had 36 people in her graduating class, 30 girls and 6 boys.
That's funny.
It was tough. And she was the prom queen. Oh, I threw that in too somehow. Didn't know her then, but whatever. Choice brings that up. I was the prom queen.
When you have kids that are homeschooled, I'm sure that hurts financially the school. Do they lose so much money per student? Is that how that works?
You get money from the state for each person that's enrolled in your school.
Okay.
So... if they choose not to come to your school, you don't get that money.
Okay.
We get hurt a little bit also by kids taking post-secondary. Is that what they're still calling it now? Yeah, whatever.
There's
they
like
call it.
three
different. Yeah, where they take classes at Edison or Sinclair. Right. And so if they're only in the building maybe just two periods, that takes away a little bit too, right?
What about the kids that go down to, we have our own
right
here, but
career tech,
do we lose that money too if they go to a career, if they would go down to a career tech in Dayton?
You mean like Montgomery County?
Montgomery County, yeah.
We don't have that many, do we? They go that
route? No, I think most of them go out here.
Go out, stay here.
But so like Franklin Monroe,
right,
Arcanum, they probably have a bunch of kids go down to.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, and Ansonia has a bus that goes down there.
Yeah, don't you miss Missinawa kids as well as Ansonia? They ride together, right? Yeah, you see that Ansonia bus going down there. My God, that's a long drive down there every day.
That's a good question too for you, too. How is the career tech school doing out here in Greenville?
We still have kids just doing wonderful things and going to national tests, competitions, and
we do.
Bringing home gold. The Amy Shane's class on helping kids prepare to be teachers and working with children, they went and won gold this summer. We had two groups that at the school board conference, Capital Conference in November, they have a student fair that kids will be there in a booth and talk to people and display what they're doing. And we had two groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other tech's always been big. Other tech's always been one of the best.
When I was commissioner, one of the big ones was the LPN class they had out there.
Yes.
That does very well. And I mean, those kids are really good. And they're really complete when they come out of there. Well, I mean, it's a very good program.
A couple years ago, I had some ultrasound done at your old office.
Mm-hmm.
And the young lady that was doing it, we got to talking, like, where do you go to school? And I was seeing if maybe I had been her principal. But as we talked, she was from Tri-Village.
Mm-hmm.
She had open enrolled to Greenville because she wanted to go to our career tech and do the med classes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she said, it's helping me get where I want to go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a really good class.
And I thought, wow.
Our automotive class has always been good.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Jim Anderson really took that to a whole nother level.
Oh, he did, yeah. He did.
So why don't we keep the county students at these other schools? Are they able to come here if they wanted to?
Yes.
They can open it.
Seems like they go south.
Well, they offer more variety of coursework.
Okay. You know, like down there, if you want to go to barbering.
Aircraft aviation, mechanics, stuff.
Or like Upper Valley School over here at Piqua, right?
Yeah.
They're bigger, and so they offer more programs. So.
Do you see the tech programs getting bigger, though?
I do.
I do, too. I think you're going to see kids drifting away from the major colleges more and going right to a tech school or whatever. Because one thing, they're not going to have that huge
student debt
when they get out. And they can go right to work. And most of them can work while they're learning.
Right.
I know the Economic Development Office, we have a good mentoring program with a lot of our businesses around.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of kids that they're going, whether they're in sophomore or juniors, you know, doing a little thing, and they're saying, I'm going to stay here. Cause I'm, you know, 25 years, I'm done, you know.
It's amazing. I just heard something on national news. They were talking about that thing, about kids going more into the trades to avoid that student debt. And also, they're making good money. You're like Hobart's Welding School over there. My God, those guys go over there.
You're a welder, you can just pretty much.
Exactly.
Set your own.
And I'm thrilled to see it because I want somebody to fix my faucet. I want somebody to can hammer a nail in a 2x4. I want somebody that can wire a house or
Fix your furnace.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's one young kid down at New Madison, Braden Cockerham. He's got his own landscaping business, and he does mowing in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last 2 years, he's done my stuff. He does a really good job. He's making good money, and he's looking for kids that he can hire.
Mm-hmm.
To help, and he's got his own business. He's set up now for life. Now, he wants to be a mechanic at the same time. But this is right now helping him
get to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I remember the Spencer.
Yeah, there you go.
When he was in high school,
exactly,
he brought my mulch out and
looked at his business.
Oh, another example, Kevin Floor is the same way. Kevin started in high school.
Okay.
So it's good to see those young guys. Hoffman was another one.
Yeah.
That got into it, had enough skill and, you know,
just
expertise
willing
and just
work.
Willingness, and they built their own business, stuff like that. Hey, you know, talking about landscaping. the park trees. Have anybody heard anything what the final figure was on that? I know 110,000 is the last number I heard. Is that going to take place? I know they talked to an arborist and they've planned it all out. Is it the spring when they're going
to
do that?
Supposed to.
Okay. Boy, well, it's going to be interesting to see that.
Speaking of maintenance and stuff, for the school board, mm-hmm. how big a problem is maintenance on our buildings now? I know we've got fairly new buildings now, except for the high school.
Right.
But the maintenance costs, is that becoming a huge problem or not?
I've not heard that come up as like, oh, I mean.
Good.
Because of the things they put into the building were economical, you know, save energy, the HVAC.
We still have the permanent improvement.
Right. And that's what we just replaced the heating out at the high school, and that was a big number.
Big blow there.
So that's what you use that fund for.
Yeah, permanent improvements, as opposed to the general fund.
Right.
We really have to replace the windows.
Well, most of the windows have been replaced. Yeah.
Yeah,
we should be in pretty good shape with the two buildings we've got now.
They're good buildings, really. They're not too bad.
They're pretty well constructed.
I think they made a lot of good choices when they built the new K-8 building, like the flooring in there.
Terrazzo?
Yeah. Eddie and Sonia, they had built their building, 20 years ago, and it was just the tile squares.
Yeah,
and right before I left, they were going through in phases and replacing all the floor. Well, that's not going to happen out there.
Well, and as evidence of that is out at the high school building here in Greenville.
Yeah.
That opened in the fall of 62, and those are original floors out there, and that's terrazzo flooring, and it served well out there. So, yeah, it's interesting. You got to weigh a cost factor against, cost in the short run as opposed to cost in the long term. And, so they made some good decisions. Yeah.
I think they made some really good decisions.
Hey, what do you people think about what's going on out in California? What a mess, huh?
Lack of planning.
Yeah, it's just what I was going to kind of get to.
It's lack of planning. If you live, here's the funny thing. Texas, Tennessee, and Kentucky, they have more forestry. California. They don't have this problem. The reason is they go out and whenever a tree falls down, they go cut it, get it out of there. In California, they let it fall and then they let it lay there. And then they don't get the brush underdone.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do controlled burning. You ever been through Kentucky and Tennessee when you'll see off in the distance, you'll see smoke up in a mountain there? That's a controlled burn. That's what they're doing. They're setting a fire to burn a certain area. Control the burning. And if you ever go through Yellowstone Park on the main drive through, you'll see places that are burnt completely out on both sides of the road. Those are controlled burns. They can control the vegetation.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were well intentioned on some of that stuff out in California, but just terribly misguided in what the outcomes were going to be.
I like smell, but
yeah, the smell.
I wouldn't let my house burn for it.
They blew up three dams that were creating reservoirs so that the smelt could spawn easier and get around the dams.
Well, do you remember, was it last year or the year before last? They had a record amount of snow in the Sierra Madre.
Oh, yeah.
It was huge, like 13 or 14 feet.
Wow.
And that water all ran down and ran back into the ocean because they didn't want it in the reservoirs.
Yeah.
And you're talking about probably a trillion gallons of water.
Yeah. What was I listening to the other day? They were saying how, Mother Nature has a plan. Every so often, Mother Nature burn stuff to allow growth of new trees and things like that.
Montana, when they see smoke, I've heard people say, there's fire out there. Yep, God started it. He'll put it out. It's just whether you look at it.
Well, it's just too bad. But I tell you what, out in California, and you've all been out there, I mean, they've slammed houses in every little canyon.
Somebody said the other day, 4 feet apart.
I know. How do they get by with it? How do you keep them so? I would hate that, to live like that. Have somebody that close to you.
Well, land is so expensive, and there's only so much dirt.
And I'll tell you what, you can't beat the weather and the scenery. I will say that. It's gorgeous out there, but my golly, it's okay for me, for somebody like me to visit for a few days, but if I had to live there and fight that traffic and all, I'm too much of a farm boy.
I've never been to California, but it's probably very pretty along the coast.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
But if I want beauty for the coast, I'm going to go to Hawaii. I'm telling you, that's beautiful.
We went out for a church conference to California, and I couldn't believe it was in the summer. Like here, when it's hot, you're sticky.
Oh, yeah.
and it was hot, and it's like you weren't sweaty, yeah, sticky. That's the beautiful part of, yeah, being, yep, hot, but it wasn't,
no, humid.
Yeah,
yeah. Along that South California coast, you have the ocean, you got the mountains, and they're right there. And it's spectacular. And when it's, you know, always 75, 80 degrees and low humidity, sunny probably 300 days a year. I understand it, but my gosh.
Yeah, but if you
as opposed to this,
gray.
But if you go to Oahu, you can go.
Yeah, I know.
Diamond Head, and right there's the water.
Hey, something else I want to touch on. I had an article on the Early Bird about Jim Serber with his annual report. And Mr. Commissioner, you know that. Krista, take a guess. How many miles of paved road do you think we have in Dark County? This would be just county and township.
County and township.
Take a rough guess.
I scanned that.
Oh, darn it.
Okay. But I didn't read it, okay, so I don't know. Like
525 miles, and we have more bridges than just about every county in Ohio, right?
Than in the state, in the country.
We're number 10, aren't we, in the country for bridges?
We're in the top 10 for that, and... Right. I will say this, working with Jim Serber, I did for 12 years, he is the best engineer in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
He gets more done with less than anybody I've ever seen.
Plus, he's
a heck of a lot of fun to work with.
Yeah, he is. Jim's a good guy. His report said that this past year, they paved almost 65 miles of county or township roads, either repaved or chip seal kind of thing.
Chip and seal.
But new pavement. Budget's $7.8 million, I think, something like that. What's the school board budget now? That's got to be up in the mid-30s, isn't it? Top of your, just rough estimate. I know.
I'm not the number person.
Okay, you're not the number. You're the idea person.
I'm the idea person, and I had Jim Serber's youngest son in first grade.
Okay.
That's the things I remember.
Yeah. Anyhow, 525 miles of asphalted road surfaces. But that's not counting state routes or U.S. routes.
That's just county and
county township. And he's built, and I think this is one thing that Jim's really done a good job, 440 new bridges since 1977 when he evidently first started.
Now, if they would get their head out in Columbus a little bit and allow our county engineers to do more instead of having this force account, which they have, where if it's a bridge that's like over 100,000, you have to have it done. You have to have union wages and all that crap. If they would get rid of that, every county in the state would have much better bridges.
You take a look at that, and wow, you're right. Jim's done a lot with what he's had. He really has.
One of the things I used to miss, I still miss when I was commissioner, is about every day at 4 o'clock, Jim would come in and sit in the commissioner's office. And there is nobody can tell a story like Jim's.
We were paying you guys.
You that. Yep. For half an hour, we'd sit there and just listen to that dummy. I'll tell you, he had some of the best stories ever. Look forward to it. We'd look at our watch and say, Jim should be in any minute now.
Hey, speaking of looking at watches, our time's about up here. Gail, anything you want to bring up here?
Yeah, who's going to be our new senator from Ohio?
Ooh.
You got inside information?
Yeah. Okay, let's hear it.
We won't tell anybody.
Right now, the inside track is John Houston, who was going to run for governor, I know, because he wanted me to be his county captain. But he's going to run for governor, and Vivek Ramaswamy is going to be the next. No, Houston's going to be the next senator. Ramaswamy's going to be the next governor.
He's
going to
run for governor. Okay.
So where does that leave Frank LaRose? Because he's term limited.
Frank is going to probably, they're going to do like they always do. They're going to change deck chairs on the Titanic. He'll go some. They'll switch him. He'll go someplace. I haven't heard you. I haven't talked to Frank, but I'll find out.
So. Okay. All right.
That's always interesting. Because whoever gets it, they have to come back up in a special election in 2 years. And then 2 years after that, they have to run for a full term, correct?
Yeah.
So it's got to be somebody that's going that just likes campaigning like that. So.
Well, I used to be a good senator because he's really a very smart man, if you ever got a chance to talk to him. Yeah. He's pretty sharp. Of course, we know Ramaswamy is.
Yeah, he'll tell you that too.
Yeah, if I had his money, I'd tell you too.
probably right. So, anyhow, hey, so I'm sitting here between the guy's got an Ohio State sweater on. You want to say a little bit about what you've got there, that cardigan?
Well, can you see? It says Bucks, and we got Ohio State. There's the Buckeye.
Brutus over there.
Brutus. A friend couldn't wear it anymore a long time ago when I was principal, and she said, "Would you like this?" And so it's an oldie goldie, but
it's a good looking sweater.
It's it's time to get it out.
And time to get it out.
I've been wearing it for all the playoff games. So here we go.
It's Ohio State Notre Dame. We're taping this on Tuesday. Monday is the game. Galen, what's your prediction?
Ohio State.
Okay. Krista?
Ohio State. Go Buckeyes.
Michael?
What's your prediction?
Well, I'm going to get you first because I will espouse upon my reasoning.
Ohio State has played extremely well the last three games. Notre Dame played very well, did not panic when they got down against Penn State. It should be a very good game. However, if you look statistically, Notre Dame does not play defense as well as Ohio State does. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if Ohio State does not turn the ball over, this is going to go on Will Howard. If he does not turn the ball over, Ohio State will win.
Okay. I kind of agree with Mike on that. I look at matchups, and so I think that Ohio State's defense does a better job of stopping Notre Dame's offense than Notre Dame's defense does in stopping Ohio State's
offense. Penn State should have beat them.
Yes, Penn State should have beat them.
So, and they scored, they gave up 24 points to, but they also gave up 20-some points to Penn State. So.
Anyhow, I'm 10 for 10 on my predictions on this college football playoff. So this is the 11th game. So I think State wins. I think it's going to be 7 to 10 points, if not more. State victory.
Depends on if they get rolling.
If they get rolling,
they start quick, it's over.
It's tough for Notre Dame to come from behind.
Yeah, it's going to be over.
How do you think the officiating is going to be in this game?
I think they got...
They're bringing Stiegel back.
One of the things I do watch every game is the officials. I thought the officials at the Texas game did a very good job. I know a lot of people said, oh, you know, that's targeting. No, that's not targeting. He made in the shoulder, didn't lead with his head, blah, blah, blah. Officials take an awful lot of abuse for people that don't know what the hell they're talking about. Let's be honest. So I think they've done a good job so far. I like the fact they let them play.
Yeah.
You got two guys going down the field bumping each other. Of course, the offensive player always wants pass interference. Hey, you know, you're pushing off too.
So do the officials decide in a meeting ahead of time that they're not going to make the calls?
Honestly, they look at the situation. These are two very good teams. Do we want to let them play and just keep it under control?
Right.
I mean, when I was doing high school ball, I'd have like Marion Local and Coldwater. Well, you got to let them play.
Yeah.
And if you see something the first time, you can do a lot by giving a verbal warning. I don't know how many times I'd walk by a kid and say, hey, 75, I saw your hands that time. Keep them in. That does so much.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, hey, thanks so much, Krista, for being with us today. Certainly appreciate your input and hope you had a good time here. Galen Blosser.
Yeah.
Mike Stiegel, myself, Nick Schmidt, as always, our videographer. And, well, you know, we see gray out there. Hopefully one of these days we'll see a little more sunshine. It's going to be cool the next few days, I think. Yeah. Hey, I'm glad you folks could join us out there on this episode of the Roundtable here at MyCountyLink.com. And I think we'll be back in a few days. We have another one lined up. And we're trying to bring you things of interest here around not only Greenville, Dark County, but also West Central Iowa. So, thanks for watching, everybody. See you later.